food sovereignty for urban people, and not only for them, but by them, is it's like kind of one of the big intellectual challenges we have, because it's a structure of feeling challenge, you know. So when you're on one place for a long time on land, like watching the changes in the seasons, the when there's water, when there's not, when the grass grows, when it doesn't, when which birds are here at what time of year, all of those things, you know, are deeply affecting of your person. And even when we lived in the city, I know that although we were always people, you know, we were always super like tree hugging sort of urban greenies, but that structure of feeling was different because we were bounded by fences and we walked on concrete. And so the sense of where you are is quite disorientating compared with when you're on a piece of land somewhere.
I think it's
not insurmountable, obviously, you know, and one of a friend, Tim Reed, up here in Castlemaine, he makes the point that people go and they walk the Merri Creek and they do it all the time and they do observe the seasons in places where they can. So these aren't insurmountable, but they are challenges for urban food sovereignty.
Yeah. Well, this is we were prompted to reach out to you, right, because we had a listener, a subscriber who wrote to us and was saying, you know, the Greens don't always do a great job of engaging with farmers and farming communities, which I think is probably true. Like, what's your perception of that? Is that the sense that you would get from talking to other farmers?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we were always Greens voters in the city. Because that made sense, because I think the Greens are very good at urban policy. but I don't think that they're that good at rural policy. And, it's not like we become Nationals voters or something, but I definitely have a more problematic relationship with what the Greens do in rural areas. I think that kind of like, if you think about the planning scheme, the planning minister, right? They do all of this stuff, you know, pretty well for urban planning, and then they're really bad at it for rural areas. I feel like the Greens are a bit like that. It's like because the bulk of them are in the cities, you know, and so that like the capacity to know what needs to happen in rural areas is lower, which means they should be doing some really serious outreach to organizations like AFSA and letting us help develop what those policy frameworks could look like, because we work in the policy space like all the time. That's AFSA's bread and butter, is submissions to government, meeting with politicians, trying to convince them to be a little more radical. Not so much. We try, but so I mean, I think doing Greens outreach to actually radical organizations that work on anti-capitalist, anti-colonial, anti-patriarchal and pro-solidarity economies organizations. And we're not the only one, obviously, but probably one of the more radical in the country.
Yeah. And we know it's possible, right? Like, I think that's the thing. It does require genuine engagement, like working alongside and even, you know, spending time in farming communities. I think a good example of how the Greens have managed to do this is the Lock the Gate movement, you know, anti-CSG movements where they have been able to find common ground with landholders and a lot of farmers and work together to oppose fossil fuel projects. You know, Lock the Gate's a good example. There's the Oki Coal Action Alliance that is a lot of farmers as well as environmentalists that work together to try and stop the New Acland coal mine in Queensland. I think that is a good template, but I think you're right that there is still the common perception is it is like farmers versus greenies. They do not mix. They're not friends. And probably fair enough because, it's like you don't – like we right at the up the top of the show, it's like I don't know what it's like to – I know fucking nothing about farming clearly. So how could I make policy on that, you know?
Yeah, and I think I think that – you know, most of our understanding of what Greens policies that affect rural areas, they tend to be around things like conservation projects that are about land sparing. And so this idea that farmers are inherently negative for the environment when, of course, plenty of farms are, but not all. Yeah. It's why, you know, that debate about the Anthropocene versus the Capitalocene, which one do you call it? And it's that kind of treating us as though all humans are doing the same thing instead of there being a group of humans doing particularly bad things that we should really be focused on. So I think the Greens, be great to have some good conversations with them around the problems of land access and what's going on with land grabbing and how could policy be prohibiting that, because most of those land grabbing, I mean, the biodiversity and carbon markets potentially will actually improve some environmental outcomes compared with what else they could be stealing the land for. But of course it's no good for rural communities. So the land and land grabbing issue. And the other one is about this infrastructure, which, you know, I wrote about in the thesis as well. Like the fact that fewer and fewer multinationals own more and more of the processing infrastructure for our food system is honestly, we're getting to such a precipice of how bad this disaster is going to get. And they're not moving fast enough. They're not really doing much at all. The ACCC just keeps approving all of these, you know, amalgamations and takeovers. And yet now you have, you know, one abattoir, the world's biggest meat packers own 30% of the pig kill in this country.
Yeah.
So that's massive. They should not be letting that happen.
Serious danger to Australia.